Welcome to Fish Talk, a talk show about fish on the Kuskokwim. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. With me translating the show into Yupik is John Active. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Anna Rose. What a beautiful morning we have.
Wonderful, especially after days of rain.
Yeah, that's true. It's going to get hot after a while.
So today on Fish Talk, you're the guest, our caller. So get ready to call in. We want to know what your experience has been like fishing this summer on the Kuskokwim. What did you catch? How were the fish? What did you think of the restrictions? How did you put your fish away? Did you learn anything new? Try anything new? We want to hear it all.
Una annos macartharago huingalu aqumgatik mumiksiluku kalarnaasutipiungalreani niitsuktukut qaillun ayuqsakeegpak neqsorsaagalerpitsni chanakchanglhutsi qaillayuqsuat naqat qaillunlu inerquutut atulput keegpak ayuqsuat asertut asitut qaillunlu qmaklarchitiiki neqqautsi Nutaranxulitsruutsi apiun niitsugaput umiokutsi.
So join the conversation by calling in. If you're in Bethel, the number is 543-5985 or 543-2756. If you're in the Villages or outside Bethel, you can call toll-free at 1-800-995-8954.
Mumikslagluku bani mamtakita mikala kapsi number agat 543-5985
what 543-2756
nunaha
nuklu latam 1-800-995-8954. We got a call. Yeah, we got a call already. Good morning.
This is Eula David. I don't know if I could talk English or Yupik.
Bit jet, and I'm here to translate Yupik to English and vice versa.
I've been telling or talking about the opening for in the first place. We have cell phones that tells the weather. The first opening we had last summer was just before heavy rain. And I'm sorry to tell you that lots of them were spoiled. But my suggestion is next time, not too late, or because of the bugs or the rain, look at the weather forecast first before, if you want to save the fish. And we have, well, I didn't because of the surgery I had. My daughter put away the second one, and I think she keep checking for the bugs' eggs because it was so late and the weather wasn't cooperate, but some way, somehow, I hope we put away not stomach ache kinds, but some fish that are nourishing and good, because it was too late. My phone nangu kut tru mersaran saalu nasufkenaku qafchini khnerni asil kanalufkenaku keerpaktang ikisnatsiarluni saalluklu natsarluku amlruugaatlu minngiluutin kwankorlum taatlu minngiluuta mai mugilknaqlhaanig neqqaartin qartukut minngumaallhkat mugilkluuku
Good morning. She spoke in English. You began translating already, so I don't need to translate what she said. Thank you, Eula.
Thank you, Ula. And join the conversation by calling in Bethel 543-5985 or 543-2756. Outside Bethel, call toll-free 1-800-995-8954. We have another caller coming in on the line. Good morning, Edward.
Yes, good morning. Ang gusto ko ng kina complain ng kato, just kahakan direct ang luwa ka ta 4 inch ako na size ak 4 inch ak nirak. Ang sakit tara kaya ka ta ko ita ita katlas na ito sang lagay ka. To actually ikahad ng lutong makapit mo na yung lutong. Kalau kang kita play makung ngahkait kutam kang kita one time wish to lau ni dekut ni nau lu ni nangau ni dekut ni kita kang kita ni nak sutu kut. Kalau kut tadam imak pilih nak dan kan kan yuga yuga kan yuga yuga nak sulki ngantor kalah kelri kang kita subsistence user an kuskuk fagmi nani anak nak ayu wetu. Complain lah tulu tu kang kutuju. Tapi unku tuan ten waste alat, meaning nak nangol alat. Kaling alat mak imak pun kan kan nangol nangol alat. Mak ang leh kat nak kau tak nak bawa ki. Tos cale tuan tadun mak signal alat imak pun macam kun kubi alat. Tang takkan certain fish nak out tu, makut cubi yang nak kaksuki. Tama makut kanim you out tu nasi kongkut kita nak suh nak suh tu ada kanim you waktu tu kongkut makut nak buat lagi nak kaksak apa tu asal sabar ki. Kung kasi yung naksung kunta, ang pita mag-government ako na naul, yan yung tarak, government tak. Usagri ko yung takata, usagri aksi ko. Yan, kung kasi pita kapot, tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki-tiki- work together akum tak ki ki kapu piung ngagi lu tasu voi sang ta tau chi piung ngagi cheko kutum yo shooting kum ta mani una mi pi yo sim ki um yo shooting kum ta ki ngai ta gom ki lu piung ngau ku ta wan ten wes ta li tu ma ku ka sim ku ni ka ki li certainly mitang klaya ko tai pang sa overall green metal lupila ito na chali Pacific Army chali tag yak fit na ukat fitai me sa tamman na tam chali ang utti sa inat ti tam tama ko ng chukti to chali yak tubul ki chali tag yak fit na ukit kakat nakat to chali nakal tay chali tamman kani chali na bugolu ki tama kutan kan na una din kide kam pi kon kule tama kule chek kasta kon kutan ngang nak put chasu chasu ku tama kutan ngam na ngol re chu chu na ki ma kut ste taung ngang ya ki in pi chi gu pi pa ta akit kon kuta ki in pi chi gu ta subsistence ani yu jo ran pi yu tu ki ran kya san ki pu tlak tu kut ayang lu tan ku sul ta ku sul ta asu so I think when young tarnas to the kind government tarnas you ka now nak so ka gul kul khliya khuji ika yo khuji ko ang kutun ukul sun generation na na ulan ika yo khutta ko chak khri kis ko chim long ko khuji khui met ko chingu ma ya khuna self government ta ka kon ko ki government ya government ya na ri ti ko ke ti le ta ri na ri le ta al ko ki li na ri le ta ma ma tun sam tun an ya sam tun ta sam tun ik si sam tun ta ta ma sh ko na ko ri ve ti le na ri na ya ko ko ta ga mu ti sai tu ko ai pa ti sai ta ma ru mu ti na ko to ga ri ni ti ni wa ka mu ta ni ti ni ko ta ma ta ta kon ku ta sto ta cha ku ku atu lu ko su atom sirik cium aku. Tak aku tahu kan cecak keluku atau bodoh kau sih. Kami self government tak ngapa ngapa kita nak selalu nangsa keluku. Ika yuk sulta, ika yuk sulta kama minta. Ngapa keluku? Ini dapat tahu cik sulut tanpa ni rezeki. Okay, kemarin, bye.
Yeah, Edward, I'm going to quickly translate what you said, summarize it, or read it, digest version. Edward said that there were too many restrictions on the river this summer, complained about the 4-inch mesh nets that we had to use, those cast mostly jacks, and nobody complains about ocean trawlers or getting too much bycatch of salmon. They throw the salmon out. They complain too much about subsistence fishermen. Maybe if tribal sovereignty came into being, that they would help with subsistence fishermen and the restrictions. We got another call, by golly.
We do. Thank you, Edward. And now, Alan Joseph. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. This is Alan. I did okay fishing this summer.
Good.
But I lost about 22 salmon to rot and mold due to the wet weather after the second opening. But after the third opening, we got more fish, so my smokehouse was full again, and I didn't lose any more fish after that. But I'd like to talk about dip netting.
I was going to ask you about that. I heard you use a dip net all the time. You catch fish, by golly.
Yeah, this summer I did pretty good on the Kuskokwim River, and I'd like to share what I learned about it.
Good, good.
Yeah. First of all, when I tried dip netting several years ago, it was disappointing because I was catching nothing except maybe two whitefish. Thinking it wasn't the way to fish in the Kuskokwim, I didn't even touch my dip net last year. But I learned the wrong thing that happened when I first tried dip netting was that there were way too few salmon swimming in the river to catch in a dip net, like during the early season, which was when I tried dip netting. And I told my Yukon River friends that I never had success with a dip net in the Kuskokwim. They suggested dip netting along sandbars or shorelines, and that fish like to run next to them, and to dip net when fish are running. So this summer I tried that when the Bethel test fishery, I always look at it, began posting big catches of reds and chum. And you know what? I had really good results. I got a lot of salmon. So the important lesson in dip netting here is to fish when there are a lot of salmon swimming in the river. And when you dip net, the mouth or opening of the net always has to face downriver in order to intercept salmon as they swim upriver. And I found it's easier to dip net from a stationary boat, so I just park along the shore or anchor in the water near the bank, about 20, 40 feet from the bank. And I found out that you can catch quite a lot of salmon on an incoming tide than when it's going out, but you can still catch fish on the outgoing tide. In low tide, when current is moving downriver, I fish in an eddy where water is circling back upriver. And when the tide starts coming in and the current starts moving upriver, I move to places that are popular with drift fishermen, like that stretch of water below Fish Camp Island that is across the river from Bethel. And I fish not too far from the bank, again, like 20, 40 feet. And as for dip netting, you could dip deep with a hoop touching the bottom of the river, or mid-depth, or near the top of the water with a top of the hoop visible just under the water. And when fish are running, you can usually catch fish at any depth. If you don't catch fish on the bottom, try the top, because I found that many salmon are surface swimmers, and I got a lot of salmon that way. And I use a stick or a screwdriver in the oarlock to support the dip net in the current, and I check both sides of the boat to see which side catches the most fish. I've yet to catch a king, where I fish, because it might be too shallow for them, or there is not enough of them swimming in the river. And if you don't catch fish at any depth, even if you tried a few places, then it only means not many fish are running that day. They have their ups and downs too. If you look at the Bethel test fishery, they have these ups and downs. It just means try the next day or so when fish might be running harder then. Dip net fishing to me is more successful when there are many, many salmon running in the river. Sometimes I catch two or three at a time, and that's really exciting. And salmon are a really feisty fish when they're fresh and not spent. It's the most fun when salmon are jumping or rolling all over the place. So when they're doing that, they are surface swimming. So that's when it's best to fish the top of the water. I think the most I got so far is about 50 salmon in 2 days. Yeah, keeping only red salmon and letting the chums go. So dip netting to me is almost as good as gill netting. And a good thing about dip netting is that you can choose what kind of fish to keep and what to let go.
Right.
And another good thing is that you can dip net in between openings or restrictions, and you don't have to wait to fish then. So that's my take on dip netting.
So if you dip net, you don't have to wait for openings, right?
Nope.
Good.
You don't have to wait for openings.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so Alan, stay on the line. I have a couple follow-up questions, but
okay.
I want John to jump in and translate.
Una Alan Joseph Faka Anakhluta Changlasi Nirkuviakhtunisu Kalukun Anakhluta Utarangopk Nani Igirutkatnik Athagni Naspatra Minimakun Kalunik Atorduni Nutan Pemi Asisian Tawamar Paka Changlokasi Nirka Kalutun Kalokami Yunakwasi Yunak Malaguk Itigazan Yaksikaluku Sna Kalula Senior Utakaluku Ulisakan was Nsakan Unumkus Hokfim Taukuk Nasini Tamatum Nasini Changan Ruyogunakuk Kalukun Chalisuking and Chamakul Takakul Bifkanani Naspagaku to Quigum to see Apknaku Naspaluni. My Paka Litli Nuka Nani Kalum Kataluniku Yaskaminik. Anakluta toy Kaluku to Wamku Vialuni Utarangok Naki Ikerus Kaitnik Kalula Senior, Changlikoa, Changlikoa's Harsuni. Salisumakuta, Kayum Piumitakami, Miki. Kalukun perkami ke aksak sugi men kuviam amungop knaki tamakutu kan piusni gment gorsugu ma paktare fogin sangsian redu ikitsete kwa ilum kanaluni okay.
Okay, Alan, so you talked about how you were able to fish throughout the whole season because though the river might have been closed to gill nets for much of the summer, it was open to other forms of fishing, fishing like dip nets there, where you can keep the fish alive and therefore let go the fish that you don't want to keep and that under regulation, fishermen weren't allowed to keep the king salmon. And so can you talk about just how you made that transition to dip netting? You mentioned the Yukon. There was a shift that happened up there with fishermen where they switched to dip netting because gill nets weren't allowed. And then we're seeing some of that happen here on the Kuskokwim. What motivated you to do that?
Well, it was the only way for me to fish outside of the restrictions. And when my friends in the Yukon told me how to fish or where to fish, that's when I began experimenting. And I fished the low tide, the high tide, certain depths. And at first I was catching only like one or two salmon. But then when the big run started happening, I started catching a lot of salmon. Like I said, sometimes two or three in the dip net. So I found out that it's a real good way to keep on fishing, even when the fishing for with gill nets is closed.
And does the fish in any way differ in quality after catching it with a gill net versus a...
Yeah. They are, I mean, very, very fresh. They're not spent or dead like when you use a drift net. And there's no net marks at all, except for the maybe the head sometimes of the smaller salmon that get stuck in that 4-inch mesh. And every single fish I caught was alive except for one chum that twisted itself really hard in my net, and it took me a long time to untangle it, and then when it died, I kept it.
And are you going to continue using dip nets or switch to gill nets with silvers?
I'll probably try it with silvers. I like to rod and reel for silvers, pretty much. And we don't do a lot of dry fish with silvers. They're mainly freezer fish for us, or hot smoked salmon.
Well, Alan, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your experience.
Sure, no problem.
And congratulations, Alan.
Yep, and encourage people that have dip nets to use them, because they're a real good tool to use for catching fish.
Yeah, and you don't have to wait for no opening or closing. Heck with that opening and closing.
Yeah. Okay, I'll talk to you guys soon.
Anshawai. Maar pak matuna sini iki rutta iki rut iki rutu ki umutu ki pekata asin rolagani luku makutuna kalutun jalisun nxugaluni yuk ullakan hol intakan jali illini amtrikh tagata tagakh fit hol Gang up to the hilling wood, Chang Rock Luki, Kalukun, Kalul Renishu, Nutara Larni Luki, Toruit Niluki, Kuviam Kuviatun, Jang Taul Redson, Sally Makuta, Ikas, Taul Ritima, Silvers. What silvers did you pick? Oh, wrong person to ask, and I don't know. Anyway, when silver at Pinkata, Naspachek Senior Sally Dip Netatun. You better learn your pick pretty soon.
Thanks, John. Join the conversation by calling in. We're talking about your experience fishing on the Kuskokwim this summer. What did you catch? What were the fish like? What did you think of restrictions? How did you put fish away? If you tried anything new, how you'd like to see the river managed or improvements that can be done there. So join the conversation by calling in Bethel 543-5985 or 543-2756. You can call toll free outside Bethel at 1-800-995-8954. And we have a caller on the line. Hello, Sam from Bethel.
Yeah, hi, good morning. My name is Sam.
Good morning.
And the line from Bethel anyways. In the past years, when we're going to fish in on the Kuskokwim River anyways, when they first started, we didn't used to use 4-inch nets anyways. But we used to use the regular net, 8-inch net. Anyways, in the past years, anyway, I like to talk about my former boss. See, her name was Mara Carter. She used to be a Dimitri's owner. Anyways, I used to fish for her every year, and she would amaze me of what she wanted. She let me save the head. She let me save everything, the tails, and she would cook them and eat fish head soup and fish head fry them, and she would teach me how to cook. Anyways, I was her teacher man. Anyways, she taught me everything of how she used to make her her cooking. And when I heard that she passed away, I was really saddened, because I was looking forward for her to come this year so I could prepare her those fish that I used to prepare her to bring home to back to Cyprus. Anyways, I'm very happy that to say these things on the radio, because she really cared for me, and I'm glad that she taught me how to cook. And other than that, I am glad that she would take all the fish and not waste no part of the fish. And I'm glad that I did that for her. And I'm glad for the fishing game, and you guys keep doing your good job. But during the past years, when they first opened, they used to use 8-inch nets, not 4-inch, because 4 inches is nothing, but 8-inch was okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Sam. And Mara's passing is certainly a loss for the Bethel community. Thank you for sharing. And John?
Yeah, why Carlos Kanstuka Chirchigachami Chirfani Guria Kapta Edin Shanakatura Hugut, Wingatu, Sali Edin Shanakatura Hudo. Ilan kam nxurit malik lugi. Tuat nikuqa bilaqubda asinuguyaq tuqa agunasa umyuaq tuku ugut Dimitrit Bixti taqnaq yunrin haqakma awani maqbima keni taqbimta keni Jalilas Hosini Ragona Carlos Lightni Dimitri me, Damsu Hoktoi, Akamgum Yak Farming, Cypress Armium, Lijasini Luku Kaisen Kikin Riamak, Nakhnakatoruni, Damhook Aranak in Kuviat Lasho, Kuyaka Perna Hoktown Aranak, Yak Fanak, Kingunluk, Lijasini Luku to Aguna Sammy, Sightsin. Kini riaram xin nakhnak jango qiyuna ni khuat khat qapper saitsun rami qoit pamuit pikarluki atornax khitsi killu qilluit atuarluki atornax khit khiyuna jango qiyuna tan fankulisin yugni toilet khulini uxaknak nqiyuni uksaqlini lugulu utxlakanak Marvet Cypress Samak the Wam Yun Revolution in Taima.
And going to the next caller, hello Henry.
Yeah, Mark not Mark Sokovk. What Tokalakum Kaisin Auluk Saka? The Wamma Akuna Akut Tenret Ataput, Hangayo Kaput. Nani kos hutakumuk. 6 inch saktakayakwakinu natun rile. Awa iti uklikakanak tukitin sakun
Oh, it looks like we lost Henry. John, can you translate what he
quickly,
was able to share?
He was calling that he agreed with the caller before him that we should be using 8-inch mesh and not smaller mesh. People were apprehensive about using smaller mesh nets because they would hurt the fish. Something happened, then he had to stop. Maybe his phone or something, I don't know.
Okay, well, we do have another caller. Oh, wait, Henry.
Oh, Henry's
back.
Henry's
called back. We'll finish up with Henry before moving on. Hi, Henry.
Yeah.
Thanks, Henry, for calling back. John?
Okay. Henry said people were apprehensive about using 4-inch, 6-inch mesh because they would hurt the fish numbers in the future, and the need to fish in good weather was important for drying them and putting away. He also added, "We are not a wasteful people. We do not fish to throw away. We want to keep our fish. We want to fish during good drying weather and before the flies come out," he could have added.
And now Norman calling in. Hello, Norman.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'll try to be as quick as possible and as brief as possible. But anyway, this idea about the fishing that we had been experiencing this summer, I believe, in my opinion, is not really new. Like I said in one of my social media posts about one of the stories that was released by KYUK, it's basically just trying to relearn how we had used to live in the community of Bethel and living in basically in Western Alaska. What are the things that my ancestors had used to do in the long past have long been forgotten. And it was just a matter of relearning all of those different techniques and learning how to care for all of the fish that we had done since, according to our stories, time immemorial. A lot of the citations that I had cited during one of my discussions was a guy named John Kilbuck, who was a missionary. As his work was controversial, he did have some really valid observations from the time that he had observed from people fishing the beginning of the season versus middle of the season, which is the wet season, and he basically gave a kind of a, not so much a thorough, but the details were hazy, but he basically said the time that when people started working on fish versus from the beginning of the season versus to the middle of the season were always completely different. I just didn't know what kind of a difference there was until the last several years that we have been facing these severe restrictions. For instance, when I was growing up in the beginning of the season, my mom would gather as much fish as she can and fill the rocks. And then when the rainy season came, she would not allow us not to fill up the entire rocks, but she would create as much room as possible so that airflow will be continuous. And guess what she had in the fish racks? She had continuous smoke going in the fish racks just because when the rainy season came, that smoke would, that warm smoke would keep the moisture away from the fish. As soon as the sun came out, she would continue smoking, which I did for the summer. And I actually kept my fish out in the fish rocks an extra day just because I wanted a good firm texture on the fish right before I brought them over to the smokehouse. So that was some of the things that I had to relearn as a young man who was trying to feed the family for the winter. So as soon as I kept those fish smoking that one extra day, I brought them into the smokehouse and we ended up not throwing any fish away because we kept smoking while they were drying. So a lot of the things that I would like to mention about Alan Joseph's post, they were really good. He had a really good discussion, and really I'm glad there was another person in the community who had been working hard to get a different thing going this summer. But here's what I actually do when I go out fishing. I prefer gill net. But guess what I also bring along every time when I go out gill netting? I always bring my dip net with me just because several reasons. A dip net can access more other places that are inaccessible by gill net, because when you're out gill netting, you can either hit a very nasty snag and you have to cut your net, and all sorts of disastrous problems will happen. With the dip net, you can actually access these more shallower sandbar-y areas where the fish like to congregate, and then a dip net is actually useful in those areas that a gill net can't. So I always try to bring my dip net with me. So one thing that I was going to mention about the dip net is that I didn't even have to spend about $400 on my dip net. I actually spent about $50 on the dip net. What I did was I went over to the store and bought really cheap material, and I actually built the dip net by myself based on the specifications of the state of Alaska, which is another way to say I had to relearn the old ways in order to access all the fish on the river. So that's just my really quick, brief story.
And Norman, I have a follow-up question, but I want John to be able to jump in to translate.
Okay, go ahead.
Mae pagmatim na sini makun kalun kato ato staka mktkut nutan to epilresu na yo knilugu litnaot knilugu lang nakakam ta tsikfag ni kuyarasim tni kwaunani kusikfag mi ato kuyak tukut makun kuvyanik tsingani tukun tamatum kalun kato wakto tukwas kuyan kat pilenik. Kuyak pehto asika el nan litha kalun kalutul kuyask unanikus kufagmi ilini tkit sigal tlagay naksugvit kuyat. Tvetsiagakan, tos apyuti.
Norman, you said you built your own dip net from materials you bought from the store. Will you describe what did you buy? How did you build it for someone who's listening and is interested in doing the same?
I went over to the hardware store and I was trying to pick out the best materials. I actually, just like Alan Joseph, I experimented with different materials. I experimented with a plastic conduit material first, which didn't really turn out to be the best material to use because plastic is extremely soft, especially when there's a big heavy current coming in, such as the tide. But the best material that I had used that was more ideal with the conditions that I wanted was the electrical conduit material. This electrical conduit material is about a half inch thick. The best ideal part, the best ideal thickness is about a half inch thick. Any thicker, you'll have a lot of problems. Any thinner, it won't be strong enough. But the electrical conduit material can be bent in a number of ways. You can either get a pipe bender, or what you can also do is use a soldering, what I call it, map gas, or soldering torch gas. And when that conduit material is heated to a point, it actually bends really nice and easy. But at the same time, after it bends, it actually, as soon as it cools down, it hardens again to its original state. So what I did was I actually had to use my imagination and started bending the conduit material and putting together a big piece of the puzzle. Since I know how to work on fishing nets, as soon as I got my material and all of my material in place using my own imagination, I started mending the net onto the material that I had worked with.
Okay, so you said an electrical conduit material to make the piping part of the net, the frame
yes.
of it, and then
yes,
the net itself, what did you use?
The net I bought from, I don't remember where I bought the net from. I think it's basically a replacement net where you can buy from the store for like $10. If you know how to make nets and work on nets, what you can do is you can just mesh it onto the material instead of building it while you're building the dip net. So it's basically, like I said, you learn all the skills that had been lost for the last generations. I didn't realize that it was a pretty easy process to put together this conduit material and then remending the net that I had bought from the store for about $10.
Well, Norman, thank you so much. John?
That electrical conduit, is that gray hard material harder than regular plastic tubing that they use when they're building a house? They put the electrical wiring through it? Is that what it is?
Yep, that's called electrical conduit. It's,
okay.
It's a lot better than the plastic conduit material, and it's a lot better than the copper piping. Copper piping, as soon as it's bent or bent, it actually starts becoming really weak. But electrical conduit material is a lot more harder and sturdier. However, you can any source of anything that has over 300 degrees of heat, such as a propane torch or a nap gas torch, will actually do the job of making it nice and bendable.
Okay, I didn't know how to translate that. Are you done now, or can I translate now? Thank you, Norman. Atuk yang seni dunia itu wanita makut ullagan hwas ntagan prasugulu ting, pinnena ting. Takun hwag makutua plasika agon lingu ta kasu kasu tawi agit atutuka et magul kasu liuhtat tikin gulu ting tarisu kinakun pilreni prasu Taksuting, asiriluting, tuwas kumlamang, kumlamang, kumlangamang atam tkhiluk, tkhiluting, tuwaku tamakut at sina atukluki tamakut, tuwatin tamakut, tamak kalulishuk. Tuwas kipuso ni kipuswigmik Kuviam kuvian kwa akatakoman rin ka kalulisin ni Luni at Orluki. Sinto itamana kaluluni piluni asika.
And now we're going to Moses. Hello, Moses. Thanks for calling in.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah, I have a comment on dry fish, because, you know, you fish the cold in the winter, and this dry fish of any sort would give you energy to face the cold, whatever temperature it is, because of it's high energy and it would keep you warm whether it is cold or not, and you'd have extra energy because energy from the fish that you have. And you'd be able to face the cold, whether, you know, I'd be prepared for, like, the day you face in the day you'll face in the future, or the next day, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
That would most likely be it. But, and then that, those dip nets, you know, you make your own dip net for, you know, the security of your dip net, and it would satisfy your need need no restraints.
Thank you, Mo, for calling in. I'm going to translate for you. Makutuka Jungtat Nanakaranta Kusufakun gave me Tarek feet aspect at the Mumun, Yugunun. Binaganakshooting Dorton, Jalisu Uksumi, Makhlotoramta, Sam Pagamta, Doi Puksanir Stakshuta, Tamana Sinasika. Jalisu makuta kalut kanrut kaminiki ilumuto ay kibuzi pillet akum kumutat kibuzi ni akitut asin ruyahtok yukusminik pilikuni pikaminik kalumak. Okay.
Thank you, Moses. And now we go to Warren. Good morning, Warren.
Hi, good morning. Call in and talk about this year's fishing. We only had four opportunities, really. The first one was, I believe, June 12th, when it changed from state to federal government control. And the state really didn't give us a chance during the early part of the season. They allowed like set net openers on Saturdays, which really didn't produce much. Plus, the run wasn't how the run went this year. It's been a late run push, and we caught on the 12th. I didn't catch anything because I went late. But the day before, I caught a whole bunch, which I gave away. I went to the Johnson River on the 11th, and I drifted inside the 300 or 100 yard mark. Then on the 20th, I went down to Gallup twice this year because I was getting tired of waiting for openers after the 12th. I went down on the 16th and I caught what was 17 kings, 17 reds, and 7 chum that day. I have a Yamaha 70, which most people have like mid-range type motors, and I burned about 15 gallons round trip from here to Gallup and then back up to my fish camp, which is above the sonar, where they got at the Y. That's where my fish camp's at. I think like the managers and the river, you know how they switch control is really not fun. And I wish it was more like a one unified river. You know, like the Fish Commission was developed in 2015, and there's 33 communities, and that would be a lot better if it was one unified manager. And also, like the first part of the run, during state control, they were really protective of the run this year. And they didn't allow any kind of drifting during that time. From, I believe it was May 20th when the closure started, to June 12th when the first gillnet opportunity was given. And that part of the run is usually around 5 to 10% of the run going up the river. And if they allocated us in the lower river section at least 10,000 fish to begin with, that would be a lot. You know, people would get to hang their fish early. They'd avoid the blue fly season, and they're a lot better. They turn out better. Like this year, the people that fished late had a lot of problem with maggot worms and. I believe somebody posted on Bethel Alerts about how much fish that they got spoiled. You know, the good thing we have dog mushers around here, because that would all be waste if there weren't any dog teams or dog mushers. But anyways, it was pretty bleak this year, the way they managed the river. Last year and the year before, there was strong runs, and we passed up our escaping goals, and there could have been more opportunities. But the fishing is really a political thing nowadays, because back when I was younger, we didn't even have to wait for anybody to say go fish. You know, when it was time to fish, we went and fished. So those are my thoughts. And
Warren, I want you to stay on the line. I have some follow-up questions, but I want John to be able to translate what you've said so far.
A short summary. Warren, my stomach would state that he gave it to me looking down at him
So, Warren, you said you wish that the river was under unified management instead of being split under federal and tribal management and then state management. What would that unified management look like? Who would be the manager?
Well, the manager would be under federal control. Because the structure that they have set up now is, I believe, is a good thing. So there's 33 tribal communities, and each member community has a fish commissioner, and then they have an executive board. So the structure is there already. It's ready to be used as a one unified management, but then it's I don't think the state would want to give up their control. And in the working group structure, there's only 10 members. And those 10 members really, like from people that speak on Facebook, my friends from upriver, downriver, they really feel that they're misrepresented. And they vent that out on Facebook, too. So, I mean, I'm aware of that. And 10-member group, voting member group is very small compared to the number of people. Like, the population here in the lower river is so much greater than there is upriver. And there's more members from upriver than there is downriver. And that's a really lopsided balance of and, you know, the working group, they're an advisory role. That's how I understand they're advisors. But then the state managers actually listen to the working group. So, I mean, they are an influential player. But then if it became one unified management system, I think that would be a lot better, because you're not changing all the time. You're not transferring power. You're not waiting for that. I think it would give more the tribes a voice, the people that actually live on the river and need the fish, that would give a stronger voice through the commission. So that's why I believe what I believe, and I don't have anything else to say, really.
Well, Warren, thank you. John?
Yeah, Warren, I can't I'm three actors, Malrulu, State of Dorton. I don't know if you put on three actors in the UK, Fnatic Malrulu. I thought you couldn't take one, Nakhnektort and Moet is that Koyukht Tulit Naksim Nathini. Kaskuhum River Sound Management Working Group at Dagotort Nadanakhtuakhuta Dagotort Nathat Nunat Yakhfarni Ilakhkanaki Pilarni Luki Magumirtana Chani Mishita Wampertugi Hirudakhugi Umgudakhugi.
Okay. Okay, well, we've reached the end of another episode of Fish Talk. Thank you, everyone, for calling in, for sharing your thoughts, for sharing your experiences, for sharing some of your innovations with fishing this summer on the Kuskokwim. John, thank you so much for translating today.
You're welcome. I was having a little trouble there getting done with the first row and then doing the other one.
You've been working hard this morning. Thank you so much.
Bernard. Brianna, thank you, Anna.
Well, you're done now, and we are as well. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. You've been listening to Fish Talk. Thank you.